is moderate joint pain and arthritis. Fuck, I love it when it's about the rain. What's going on, fuckers? I know that I have not graced your presence on the airwaves. And for that, I'm remotely sorry. To my three fans out there that depend on me, I've been a busy, busy boy doing boy stuff.
Yes, boy stuff.
I don't even know what that is, but it sounds so fucking good. I've been out riding motorcycles, motherfucker. Got Fiona out for the Combat Vets Motorcycle Association Ohio State meeting. It was down in Sin City, Cincinnati. They had a pretty kick-ass 500-600 miles of rolling around with some of my favorite people on two motherfucking wheels. And it's just a blast. It's just a blast to get that state meeting together. I got Hutch out of Columbus. I got my 12-3 peeps, Munchie. Fuck everybody. Disaster. Oh, just hanging out, man. We had a good old fucking time. And then, of course, 12-7 boys rolled down. The window liquor was in the house. Chowda. And Honey Baked was down there. Sawzall was down there. Jeffrey Clark was down there. It was just a good old time, man, rolling with my homies. And yeah, it's fucking, it just feels so good. It that first like real ride of the season, not that like, oh, I'm just tooling around the neighborhood, oh, I'm just going for gas, hey, I'm riding at the work. No, this was get out, stretch those motherfucking legs, wind up in Plain City, Ohio. That's a place. Go to a restaurant called The Granary, which was an in-house brew thing, and not bad food. Had a decent brisket sandwich. Just hitting those miles and rocking it out. Apologize, the mighty Samson is upset because I think the Reg is home. He's gonna sit up here and bark now, so you guys get to listen to that. But you missed me, so it's cool. We can just be cool. Be cool like Fonzie. What's Fonzie? Fonzie's cool. Be like Fonzie. God, I miss that movie so much. Pulp Fiction. Tell that bitch to be cool. You'd be like, Fozzie, what's Fozzie like? He's cool. Yeah. Yeah. But no, getting out, stretching the legs on that girl felt so good. She ran pretty well. She started hard that morning, which surprised me. I think it's a lot of the stabilizer still sitting in her. No bueno. Oi, papi. My God. So I work with this absolute ass clown, right? He's prior service army. And he like talks to me in Spanish all day, and he is like white bread, just this little milk drop, right? But he like just goes after me in Spanish because I don't know Spanish and he's from Texas. And like every time a customer comes in, he's like, yeah, I'm sorry, you know, this is why spouses shouldn't work together. And I'm like, oh my God, dude. Just throwing me under the bus. But it's some good shit. Some good shit. Still loving my job, man. Still got love for Dre. Just a beautiful, beautiful time spent around lots of people that are just shit giggly happy, going to have some aromatherapy in the form of shoosting some gods. It's so good. It's so good. So good. I don't really know what else is going on in the world. I'm trying to think. I think I watched the news today. I know we got another mass shooting. I feel like I talk about these all the time. Although I think I get started on these and then I like just get mad and delete the episode. So we have a mental health crisis, right? I have a mental health crisis. I had to get help. I have behavioral health issues. I have to admit that. I have to be aware of that. I have to medicate that. I have to go to therapy for that. I have to do these things. I have to make these efforts to keep my shit under control. I swallow my antipsychotics, my antidepressants, my uppers, my downers, my innies, my outies, whatever the shit is, I swallow the pills. That's what I do. And I'm just listening to these media outlets who are now looking at this mental health crisis as being the push for red flag laws. And I'm just not sure how this can work. I mean, the sociopath in me doesn't get as worked up as the rest of society does when there's a mass shooting. I would do anything to be involved in a mass shooting. Like, it's not going to be a mass shooting if I'm there. He's going to pull the gun out. He's going to pop off one or two before I finish this son of a bitch, turn their face into a modern art project. Like, I don't worry about these things, and it's just amazing because you hear these people are like, "Oh my God, this shouldn't happen. This shouldn't." Well, no, it shouldn't. It absolutely shouldn't. But there's solutions, lots of options, lots of ways to protect yourself. But how do I protect myself when I'm in a behavioral health situation? I worry sometimes when I'm aware. Trying to formulate thoughts and speak here, and it's a little bit sketchy, so you got to work with me. Like, I'm aware that I have a propensity to violence, very aware. But I also have control, and I pride myself in my control. I, in my life, have never lost control on anyone that I love. I have never felt the need to randomly attack people. I looked for a lot of fights. I looked for an outlet for my pent-up energy, my aggression, and all those things. There's people that will never realize that they chose so poorly. Well, they realize. The old FAFO principle comes in, right? But in all my insanity, in all my homicidal fantasies that I have and dealing with things, never once have I had any control issues. But if you read my jacket, it doesn't look good, right? If you read my history, my it just terrifies me that I think we're going to be forcing red flag laws. And that's going to affect a lot of us, especially combat vets, because it's just assumed combat vets have PTSD. And it's just assumed if you have PTSD, you're crazy and can't control yourself. Like, how are we going to advocate for ourselves? I'm just not sure. Buddha, hush. Buddha's back here whining. That's his way of saying hi to y'all. He tweaked his foot this morning. I felt kind of bad for him. He was, I was throwing the ball up through the kitchen. I was sitting on the couch throwing the ball up into the kitchen, and I heard him turn a corner. And I don't know if he like strained or sprained or banged or what he did, but boy, he's been whining and limping. But he's been better today. Of course, now trying to talk to you, and he's back there making his pathetic noise, mostly because he knows Reg is home and he wants to go see Reg. Did Sammy give up on Samson, the mighty wonder dog, gave up on waiting for rain and has returned to his spot on the oversized chair. Things to be comfortable about. So what do we do about this shit? What do we do about this epidemic of violence in our country? Because I can only solve world problems that happen within 21 feet of me, because like, I like to play by the rules, and that's the distance for justifiable use of force. So any problem outside of 21 feet is not my problem. So I don't know how to solve everybody else's problem, but I tell you what, I'm getting really frustrated at thinking that someone's going to attempt to solve this problem by targeting vets with these red flag laws, and it's just got me. Got me wound up. But well, what are the solutions? When do you report someone? When do you say, like, hey, this person is dangerous, right? Because the only people that probably see the telltale signs are the parents, But the parents, as a parent, you want to believe that your child is good, that your child would never harm another human being. Your child is, your child's shit doesn't stink, right? Even though any of us that have ever changed their diapers knows absolutely the opposite of that is true. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I just don't know. And it's terrible. And the way the media is spinning these things, like this one they've deemed to be a white supremacist hate crime issue, but the shooter was Hispanic. All I can picture is Dave Chappelle, that episode where he was in the Ku Klux Klan and he was blind and he didn't know he was black. I mean, like that's like the only thing I could picture after watching the news this morning. All that and the Marine that choked out the guy on the subway and killed him, and now they're protesting all over New York because this man felt entitled to take this other man's life. I had to hear that like a few times because I thought that's what the reporter said, but it turns out that was a quote from the family. Felt entitled to take this man's life. A mental health crisis individual was having an issue on a bus where he was threatening other passengers because of his instability. And I don't know enough of the details other than basically the Marine wound up and had this guy in a rear naked choke. And evidently he held him in the rear naked choke for 3 minutes. I don't really know. The armchair quarterbacks are like, well, there was other people helping to hold them down, and I don't know where you find a jury of your peers that's ever been in a physical altercation that understands the need to control someone causing harm, right? When you start wrestling someone or fighting someone, they are constantly trying to escape. And while they're trying to escape, their single intent is to return harm to you. So it becomes a defensive lockdown, right? All you can do is hold on for dear life and not let that son of a bitch go, who now you've made even angrier. And, I totally get it, man. I choked out a guy on a subway train in Minnesota. I actually got an AAM for that, if I remember correctly. I don't know. Police department contacted somebody, and I don't remember how, whatever. But yeah, I wound up getting an Army Achievement Medal for it. I was a drunk guy, just being horrible to this woman, and he spit on her, and I'd asked him to stop, and that's when he spit on her and turned around and took a swing at me, and he just wasn't quite good enough to land it, and I used his momentum against him, and he sat down and took a little nap. Now, I don't think I held him in that choke for more than 20 seconds, because I learned that one real fast when you get in the Army's Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu-based combatives program. You get somebody in that rear naked choke, you seal the deal, you lock it up, you shut down the blood flow, and they take a nap. Like, you do that fast, otherwise they're going to keep striking, biting, scratching, whatever it is, get behind them, lock them up, take away the blood flow, let them take a nap. And yeah, I don't know, man. These headlines, they just kill me. They just kill me. It's the stigma of the behavioral health, right? We talk all about all these negative things that come out of behavioral health issues, depression, anxiety, PTSD, psychosis, things that these words that we all just give these negative connotations to. I mean, obviously they're not, you're not going to give them good connotations. I hear what I'm saying, but why do we oversell the impact of it? Right? I mean, because when you hear bipolar, you're like, oh, bipolar, they're fucking nuts. Oh yeah, they have issues. Oh yeah, they're. I'd be like, instead, oh, okay, they have bipolar disorder. What are you doing to address that? Are you medicating? Is there something I can do to help adjust, my shit a little bit around you? or at least have the conversation with them. Look, you're bipolar and you're making really shitty decisions, and I think that you should give me your guns. Now, I know the shooter down in Nashville, the family didn't even know. Try to respect their pronouns, but I don't fucking know if it was a he or a she. It was confusing. But they had been purchasing and stashing firearms for some time. How does the family not know? How does the counselor not know? I'm so confused by all this, right? Am I evil? Like, do I need to be locked away? I don't think so. I think I function fairly well. I mean, there's situations and circumstances in which I don't thrive, and thank you, DD214. I don't really have to worry about those anymore. So be it. I'm just rambling now. I'm really bent on this mental health crisis and what we can do to better, I'll say, police our own. But this impacts any one of us that's taking antidepressants. This impacts any one of us that's taking anti-anxiety medications. Like, how do we advocate for ourselves? But how do we also be realistic and know when we need help because we're dancing on glass, you know? It's a tough question. It's a tough question. And I sure didn't mean to be Debbie Downer because, like, let's just go back to talking about motorcycles because, hey, that makes me happy. I'm flying home this weekend, gonna go see the kids. I'm so excited. It's Thing One's 17th birthday. It's actually the day after I leave, but I'm gonna be home to celebrate it with her prior to, so I'm pretty excited about that. Good things coming. I'm gonna focus on those good things and try to dwell less on the negative shit that's going on in the media. But as always, get out there, kick those tires, light those fires, go fast, don't die, and remember, safety third.